Hello, it's Tuesday, April 25th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. It's a Tuesday afternoon here. And we'd like to thank, first of all, Bill from the Alaska Intel Report. He commented on our show yesterday, and he says, I got to tell you, I loved it. He's even a Barbie doll and a toilet paper. He says, those guys out there just don't know what to do with you. And I think that sums it up, Lisa, is that we're so far from being controlled by either networks or other websites or so forth that it allows us a freedom to report on whatever we want. We don't have the constraints that others not only in the mainstream media have, but even in the alternative media. It's like most of these people that are in the alternative media have handcuffs on them that they're not allowed to do or say certain things.
And the thing they hate the most is that we draw your attention to these little scams and shenanigans that they try to pull. And Victor and I said we're not going to put up with any more illusions. They, on the other hand, want to just feed you more and more illusions. And if you think you can get into anywhere with a Deadline Live press pass, you're seriously deluding yourself.
And like Lisa said earlier this morning, she says people like it when they're told how they're being ripped off. And I know the people listening to this show,
well, they don't like that, but they like avoiding being ripped off.
No, but I mean, you said that they like when they're told how other people are trying to rip them off. And I know people listening to this show are too smart to fall for any of them scams, but there's a lot of other people out there that need to be informed about this stuff. So, anyway, on the cover of Rolling Stone this week, there's a caption that says, "The worst president in history." And on this cover, they have a picture of George Bush.
That's a great cover.
And he's sitting there in a corner, and he's wearing a dunce cap, and he has this befuddled look, and he's twiddling his thumbs.
You mean his normal expression?
Yeah, his normal expression. And, you know, throughout this country's history, Lisa, there's been political cartoons and political caricatures. But when you get to the point where you have a president looking like that, depicted like that. You start getting into a dangerous area because nobody believes this man anymore. Nobody has respect for this man anymore. They look at him as a joke and a buffoon.
The laughing stock.
Yeah.
And what we'd be laughing louder, except we're so mortified that he sits at the helm of our nation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not even funny.
So I wrote an article today, it's on the Wing TV homepage, asking, is this the worst president in history? And I have to say at this point right now, Lisa, no. There still is one president beyond him that was worse, and that was, of course, Woodrow Wilson.
Right.
And what he did was he allowed the federal income tax to be enacted. He allowed the Federal Reserve System to be created. And after campaigning, promising that America wouldn't get into World War I, right after these two acts were enacted, guess what we did? We got sucked into World War I. So as it stands now, Woodrow Wilson is still worse. But with George Bush, there's a big argument that he might be. He has the orchestration of 9/11. Now, of course, he didn't do it, but his people did.
And he's lying about it.
And we have the lies about Iraq. And we have the biggest deficit in this country's history. And if we start dropping nukes in the Middle East and it officially begins World War III, I think then George Bush will go down in history as the worst president ever. So the jury's still out, but it's starting to lean that way that maybe he will take this title.
Well, speaking about Bush, it looks like there's a growing chorus of state legislatures that are calling for his censure or impeachment. The Illinois General Assembly is actually making an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, members of state legislatures aren't considered as having this ability to decide issues that have a massive impact on the nation as a whole. But this Illinois legislature might change this. They've stumbled upon a little-known and never-utilized rule of the U.S. House of Representatives, Section 603 of Jefferson's Manual of the Rule of the U.S. House of Reps, which allows federal impeachment proceedings to be initiated by joint resolution of a state legislature. This is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This Illinois House Joint Resolution 125 was born based upon that, and it details five specific charges, one of which is a felony, that the president directed the NSA to spy on Americans. And this felony charge is undisputed so far. Now, listen, Victor, should this joint resolution be passed by this Illinois General Assembly, the U.S. House is going to be forced by House rules to take up the issue of impeachment as a privileged bill, meaning that it will take precedence over all other House business.
So I think there's two states right now, Illinois and also California. And what it says, what we've posted on the Wing TV homepage today, is there's an article that's saying impeachment talk, the big I word, is actually going mainstream.
Yeah.
So,
well, this call for impeachment seems to be growing beyond a fringe movement. Speaking of California, it's joined Illinois to become the second state proposing to impeach Bush. Their proposal includes impeachment of Cheney as well. They should just take the whole dog and pony show down with them. Supposedly for intentionally misleading the Congress and the American people regarding the Iraq threat in order to justify an unnecessary war which has cost billions of dollars and thousands of lives thus far, and for basically the other things that the Illinois one does, exceeding the constitutional authority by federalizing the National Guard, conspiring to torture prisoners in violation of the Federal Torture Act, and indicating intentions to keep on doing so and whatnot.
Yeah.
So this is going to be very interesting to keep our eyes on.
Most of the time, I don't like when legislators do anything. I think I'm actually of the opinion that it's better that they do nothing.
Let me just say this, too. The Illinois legislature joins Democratic state committees in Vermont, Wisconsin, New Mexico, Nevada, and North Carolina, all calling for either the censure or impeachment of Bush. Now, we think that his Republican buddies will probably stave off any kind of impeachment of him for now, but if this reaches the Capitol, this is likely to gain ground, and it will probably mean that he's finished.
Plus, during the midterm elections, if the Democrats win either one or both of the houses, that could add even more fuel to this fire. So,
of course, they don't mention anything about 9/11 leading to the bogus war.
Right.
In any of this stuff, which is a shame.
Yeah. Well, let's go now to the big trial in Alexandria, Virginia. You and I were down there, Lisa. It's the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui. And it seems that Moussaoui, when he was testifying, he said that him and the shoe bomber, Richard Reed, were actually supposed to be on a fifth plane on September 11th that was going to fly into the White House.
Uh-huh.
And this made big headlines, and it says, there it proves that Moussaoui was part of the plot. But it seems this was so far so ridiculous that even the government's chief investigators now don't believe what Moussaoui was saying.
Remember, when a witness is testifying wearing a stun belt, it really negates anything he has to say. People will say anything under torture.
Right. So the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, is saying that they agree that Mr. Reed, the shoe bomber, was never meant to be part of the September 11 attacks. So if he wasn't supposed to be part of the attacks, yet Moussaoui was saying that they were both supposed to hijack this fifth plane, it puts even more doubt upon this story. And the FBI, two different FBI analysts have said now that it's highly unlikely that Reed was part of this operation. So,
well, this whole trial is a sham.
It is. And as Lisa said, that this whole thing about the stun belts, well, even the LA Times now is getting in on it, and they've written about how Moussaoui has this electronic device strapped onto him, onto his midsection, that is hid underneath his prison suit.
This is total CIA tactic right here.
And that they can be zapped, that he can be zapped during the trial. And actually, they even asked him. They said, why is he being so tempered, so good during the trial? Yeah. And he said that he would like to act up, but Moussaoui says, I have this box on my back.
I wonder how often they use these stun belts with witnesses in trials. I mean, this is one they're highlighting, and for some reason we know about it, but what about the ones we don't know about?
I mean, it's like he's a rat that has these zappers on him. And what was that one thing we saw? Oh, the Milgram experiment, remember?
Right.
And they kept turning up the dosage higher and higher. It's like this CIA torture experiment being carried out in a federal courthouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is interesting. Penn State has canceled a Jewish student's anti-terrorism exhibit 3 days before the exhibition was to occur, saying that it doesn't promote cultural diversity. It was a 10-piece exhibit by student Josh Stolman called Portraits of Terror, and of course it depicted images of Palestinian terrorism, hate propaganda cartoons printed in Pennsylvania newspapers, and photos of Jewish holy sites being destroyed by Muslims. The School of Visual Arts sent Stolman an email 3 days prior to the exhibition advising him that he was being canceled, and Stolman says he's being censored. He says the reasons given to him don't make sense, and the school's director, Charles Geroyan, responded by saying the images did not mesh with the university's educational mission. The exhibit supposedly was aimed at increasing awareness about the senselessness of terrorism. Now, let me say something here. We've seen a lot of images at Penn State in museum exhibitions and galleries that I would seriously question whether they reflect the educational mission of Penn State University. Stuff with blatant homosexuality, stuff with blatant lesbian depictions. Just, they had something called, I hate to even use the word, cunt fest?
Yeah, this happened
years ago.
This happened back in the 90s. They had a thing here called Cunt Fest at Penn State. Now, when Lisa told me about this story this morning, I had mixed emotions on it. First of all, whenever Israel or the Jews get beaten down on anything,
when they don't get their way,
right,
and they cry foul. But you know
we
what?
We like that.
Yeah, we do like that. This, they don't always get what they want. But I think that they should have allowed this, and Victor agrees with me, they should have allowed this exhibit and then also allowed an opposing exhibit by, say, a Palestinian student to be brought forth so people could see the other side of the story, because this is very biased.
Well, this is censorship.
The student's only showing Palestinian terrorism.
Yeah.
What about Israeli terrorism?
Right, and what they're going to do is they'll use the same excuse for everything. So if the anti-abortionists come in and they have pictures of, you know, 9-month-old or 8-month-old aborted fetuses that they put up big pictures of, they won't be able to show them. It'll basically be used for every single thing there is until nothing will be allowed out in the open. So even though we like it when the Israeli lobby doesn't get everything they want, this should be allowed to happen on Penn State University.
And this exhibit was being sponsored by a local Jewish organization.
Yeah,
it wasn't
Hillel.
Just this student just creating art on his own.
So see, we're trying to be as straight across the board as we can be, as consistent as we can be, because even though we don't agree with this student, Stolman, we don't agree with what he says, we think he should be allowed to show it, because by not doing so is censorship by the university. Let's move on now. Everybody remembers last week how China's president came to the United States. He met with President Bush.
Right.
And I guess now that he's returned, the Chinese are very upset by what happened in D.C. And they said there's a couple of different factors.
What are they upset about?
Well, first of all, they wanted this to be a big official black tie state dinner, okay?
Uh-huh.
Well, all the White House gave them was an official state lunch, okay? So instead of black tie,
they got free lunch.
Well, they got a free lunch, but they wanted the whole big state dinner, blah, blah, blah.
Pomp and
then,
circumstance.
When they did the national anthem, they mispronounced the actual name of the national anthem.
The Chinese national
anthem? Yeah, yeah. Then
Can you pronounce it?
No. But they gave it, I guess, that instead they said that it was the Republic of China, not the People's Republic of China. Something minor, but I guess to the Chinese this was a big affront.
Uh-huh.
And next then there was the heckler, of course. And they were upset that this person, this woman, carried on for over 2 minutes without being batted down. And then towards the end of the ceremony, when they gave their speeches, George Bush reached down.
You mean without being shot?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's what they would have done in China, is they would have just taken him out back behind the White House and killed him. But after the ceremony was over, George Bush reaches down and, like, grabs the Chinese president's sleeve, and he's dragging him in a certain direction.
Uh-huh.
And from what the Chinese papers were saying, the look on his face was like, keep your mangy hands off of me. So they weren't real happy with what took place there. And then, to make matters worse, there was a news conference.
Hey, he can always stay home.
Yeah, yeah. We would prefer that's where he stayed. There's a news conference in the Oval Office, and Dick Cheney was so bored that he actually fell
asleep.
So here's the vice president falling asleep on the president of China.
You know, my grandmother used to do that when she wasn't getting oxygen to her brain.
Yeah, so all of these things put into one, the Chinese weren't real happy with it, which doesn't bode well for relations between the two countries.
Well, it looks like we're going to have a Spanish version of the Star Spangled Banner released to radio later this week. And it's going to be called Nuestro Himno, which means Our Anthem. It comes out as the U.S. Senate is due once again to take up the contentious no-brainer debate on immigration reform this week. The song was created by Adam Kidron of Urban Box Office, which is a Latino reggae label in New York. Now, radio programmers are going to be urged to play this song simultaneously, get it, propaganda and conditioning, across the country, making it a national salute in Spanish to the United States. Course, radio personalities in L.A. and other cities have been one of the forces behind recent massive demonstrations by illegal immigrants. The creator says the song will tell people we are all Americans. Hey, Adam, we're not all Americans. There's a lot of illegals in this country. The rest of us are Americans. A portion of the proceeds will benefit, of course, pro-illegal immigration organizations. And Kidron's going to email the song to congressional offices this week. It's going to be like that thing by Michael Jackson, We Are the World,
yeah.
You know, the Spanish version of it. Kidron says his office has been flooded with emails, mostly positive, but he says he's, get this, shocked by some of the negative ones he's received. One said, you've declared war and you will reap what you have sown. No surrender. Deport them.
I mean, this is so far out of George Orwell's...
Now,
let me
tell you this. This appeared in the Miami Herald, this article by a guy named Jordan Levin. And in the entire article, and I looked carefully, when he had to refer to the immigrants, he calls them immigrants. He doesn't call them illegal immigrants.
Right.
And that's what they are. They are illegal.
Well, they're doing that all across the country. That's standard fare for the mainstream media. I guess because gasoline prices are so out of control now that George Bush is actually now, and we're taking this with a huge grain of salt, is he ordering a gasoline price probe. He's going to have his people look into why gasoline prices
Somebody
are so...
Somebody needs to stick a probe in Bush.
Yeah, why everything's so expensive. Plus,
probe
I guess
brain.
That he's diverting some of the oil that would be going into our strategic reserves, and it's going to go straight to the pumps to somehow increase the supply. Well, there's not a supply problem in this country. There's not even an over-demand problem in this country. What it is just unadulterated greed.
Right.
I could answer this probe, this big study that he's going to do, I could answer it in 5 seconds, and then the probe would be done with. So it's greed, greed, greed. I heard on the radio yesterday that oil companies... profits for just the first quarter of this year are going to raise 40%, and that's on top of all the record-breaking profits from last year. Now, since we're talking about George Bush, when I was doing my news updates today for the Wing TV homepage, I came across a quote from a couple years ago from Barbara Bush, George Bush's mother, wife of the former president, George Bush Sr., and she was being interviewed about the war in Iraq. And this is when the story broke. Remember when they weren't allowed to show the coffins and the body bags? And here's what Barbara Bush said on ABC's Good Morning America. This is an old story, but I think it's relevant to today. She said, why should we hear about body bags and deaths? Oh, I mean, it's not relevant. So why should I waste my beautiful mind on something like that. Her beautiful mind. Now, Mrs. Bush, it was just reported yesterday that the Army's suicide rate is the highest it's been in 7 years.
Right.
Okay? And here's what I was thinking was, picture a kid, 19, 20 years old. 9/11 happens, okay? And this administration lies about everything, okay?
Right.
Then the administration comes out and lies about the weapons of mass destruction. And this kid's like, I'm going to stick up for my country and I'm going to go kill them dirty Arabs, those dirty Iraqis. So he goes over to Iraq and he gets both his legs blown off. Or worse, he gets his head blown off and he comes back in a body bag. Well, it was because of the lies told about 9/11, the lies told about the WMDs, that this kid was over there in the first place. But Barbara Bush, she shouldn't waste her beautiful mind even worrying about things like that.
It's obvious that the nut doesn't fall far from the tree.
You better believe it.
Bush's arrogance comes from his parents. She's an arrogant, elitist snob.
Yes.
And I would say your mind is not beautiful, Barbara. I'd say your mind is evil.
I'd say it's a sewer. And one last thing. There's a Bush book coming out by a professor named Justin Frank.
Yeah.
And it goes way beyond even her.
Right.
If you go back to Prescott Bush running money for the Nazis.
Of what they've been around and the kind of people they associate with.
Just very sick, sick people. But there's a book coming out by Justin Frank that says that the president's suffering from serious mental illness. Now, I don't disagree with that, but the reasons, and this guy's saying that he shows classic signs of being a paranoid schizophrenic, but he says that he thinks Bush is omnipotent, and that's why he wants to destroy all his enemies and blah, blah, blah.
Who thinks Bush is omnipotent?
Well, he says Bush thinks that he's omnipotent. But
Bush doesn't think.
Yeah, well, see, that's where I disagree with this professor, because Bush knows exactly where his role is in this administration,
right.
And that's to do nothing.
Right.
I mean, Bush isn't omnipotent. Bush doesn't make the decisions. And what this Professor Frank is saying, or what he's purporting, is that Bush is the one in charge of this whole mess. And it simply isn't true. It's giving too much credit to George Bush.
Yeah, really.
And it's really just, it's feeding into the illusion, because George Bush doesn't do anything. They keep him very much secluded, let him give his little teleprompter speeches, and that's it. So.
That's right. I wanted to give you some points from an L.A. Times piece that came out, very interesting, regarding illegal immigration. 40% of all workers in L.A. County, which has 10.2 million people, work for cash and don't pay taxes. Of these people, they're predominantly illegal immigrants working without a green card. 95% of warrants for murder in L.A. are for illegal aliens. 75% of people on the most wanted list in L.A. are illegal aliens. Over two-thirds of all births in L.A. County are to illegal alien Mexicans on Medi-Cal whose births were paid for by you, the taxpayer. Nearly 25% of all inmates in California prisons are Mexican nationals here illegally. Over 300,000 illegals in L.A. County live in garages. The FBI reports half of all gang members in L.A. are most likely illegals from south of the border. Nearly 60% of all occupants of HUD properties are illegal. 21 radio stations in L.A. are Spanish-speaking. In L.A. County, 5.1 million people speak English, 3.9 million speak Spanish. There's, as I said, 10.2 million people in L.A. County. Less than 2% of illegal aliens are picking our crops, but 29% are on welfare.
You know, that's a good point right there, because we hear this big excuse all the time. Well, they're only doing the jobs that nobody else would do, and that means they're the ones going out in the fields and picking crops. Well, it simply isn't true.
I have one more thing here. In 1997, Professor Donald Huddle of Rice University came up with this. Immigration cost to American taxpayers. This is a net cost. It was $70 billion a year. That was in 1997. Now we have way more illegals in our country now than we did back then.
It's so
far out
of control.
You figure it out.
Yeah. Now there's a story that's breaking about the recent shakeup at the White House. And what we get, Lisa, is some bragging from the Jerusalem Post.
Uh-huh. What else?
That's one of the most influential papers in Israel, if not the most influential. And they're saying top White House posts go to Jews. So we all know...
No kidding.
Yeah. that the White House recently nominated or appointed Joshua Bolton to be the new chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his staffer then is going to be Joel Kaplan, his deputy, Jewish again. And now what we have is the White House policy is entirely in the hands of these two members of the Jewish community. And the Jewish Post is saying, though, that he's simply appointing the best people for the job, and we really shouldn't look too much into it. But if we do look into it, we'll see who else is in there. Who's the head of Homeland Security? Michael Chertoff.
Uh-huh.
And who's on his staff? We got Elliot Abrams and White House staffer Jay Lefkowitz. Before Paul Wolfowitz left to go to the World Bank, he was in there. Douglas Feith. Louis Scooter Libby, Ken Melman. Now, we shouldn't read too much into that.
No,
but see, wait a second.
Don't read anything into
it. It's not just the Bush cabinet.
Right.
Because they also reported on all the people in Bill Clinton's cabinet
uh-huh.
that were Jewish. How about Robert Reich, Robert Rubin, Sandy Berger, Lawrence Summers, Madeleine Albright, Dennis Ross, Martin Indyk, and Aaron Miller.
Of course, that doesn't mean anything.
We're not supposed to read...
Just the best people.
Yeah, we shouldn't read too much into this. How many people in there have names like San Martino or,
right.
you know...
O'Reilly.
Yeah, or O'Reilly, or names like,
Smith.
You know, Bukowski, or whatever. We don't see all of those in the top positions.
No.
So...
Well, we don't give too much stock for polls, but we do keep an eye on them. And it looks like Bush's approval rating is in the mud from coast to coast. It dropped to 24%, a record low this month in a Connecticut state poll, said to be one of the most dismal showings in the nation. The poll said to reflect similar polls throughout the country, the reasons being the endless war in Iraq, the lengthy cleanup after Hurricane Katrina, the border enforcement crisis with the illegal aliens, and the skyrocketing energy prices that we're all being subjected to. In Connecticut, nearly half the people surveyed rated Bush's performance poor, 27% rated it fair. Nationally, the latest Bush approval rating found 33% of the job Bush is doing, 57% disapproved. Of course, the more Bush falls, the more potential it seems to provide for the Democrats, which is what the poll did reflect, and this is what they always do. They point out how it's going to open the door for the Democrats
right.
the more Bush plunges in the ratings.
Well, and that's part of the conditioning process, and that's why I hate polls so much, because,
right.
you know, like, we just... can't stand the way this is being used, and it's a perfect example. There is the poll number when being provided is always an impetus for the way you then are supposed
right.
to react. So this weekend, finally, United 93, the big propaganda movie,
mm-hmm.
is coming to theaters near you, but not only to theaters, it's also being released to churches. It seems like the movie studios are targeting the churches. So that the sheep and all these churches can buy the propaganda even
right.
more so. And, you know, it's when it's a religious movie, like, say, Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, I can understand why the movie studios would want to target the churches. But now they're taking their propaganda even one step further and saying, well, we have the dumbest sheep of all in these churches, the people that bow down at George Bush's his altar. So let's target them for even more propaganda.
Well,
it's sickening.
I think it's a damn good idea to stand outside movie theaters showing this movie and hand out truthful 9/11 information about the other side of the story, the side they're not telling you
about.
Yeah,
kind of like Phantom Flight 93, the Shanksville.
Counter their
hoax.
Propaganda every time you turn the corner.
Yeah, and finally, since we're talking about Flight 93, in the Mousawi trial, where they were playing these alleged cockpit voice recorders, what they did, Lisa, and they're very tricky the way they do it, is when they were playing these audio tapes, they also had videotapes playing at the same time on a screen, and they're showing all these gruesome pictures of charred bodies and so forth. So what you're doing is they're playing on the jurors' emotions
right.
and not really...
And the visual impact
exactly.
just reinforces the stuff they're hearing, the garbled whatever yeah. they heard with the subtitles.
Yeah, that they had 4.5 years now to conjure up and make into
right.
whatever they wanted. So it's just another example. I mean, this trial in Alexandria might go down as the biggest farce ever as a court trial. It's so far out of control that it's unbelievable. And when we talk about Richard Reed before, they were actually, the prosecutors were going to bring him into the courtroom, but they realized with this maniac Mousawi, and if they brought in this maniac Richard Reed, it'd be like just putting these two forces together that had the potential to blow the whole case just right out of the courtroom. So they ended up just saying, we're not bringing Reed in. And for their own protection, because they knew that God only knows what they'd say.
Right.
So
I just want to say one more thing, hearkening back to that Star Spangled Banner in Spanish. I refuse to learn that song. I'm going to sing the Star Spangled Banner in English. I urge every American to sing our national anthem in the English language. It's great if you know multiple languages. But if you're living in this country, I think it's It's your responsibility to learn our language, the English language, and sing our anthem in that language.
And I doubt
that's such an offense to me.
Yeah, I doubt that our two local stations here will play that. But if they do, I guarantee we'll be calling in to ask them why. So anyway, folks, tomorrow we're going to talk about Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about what's on the horizon, what the plans are. Are there really black ops already taking place in Iran by U.S. forces? So there was a lot to think about today. We covered a lot of ground. And until tomorrow, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you then.